This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, I'm Talia, and it's Pacific Playtime. This is a show all about listening, learning, and having fun. Do you have your listening ears on? What about your grown-up? Are they ready? Today on Pacific Playtime, we're learning all about birds. Birds that fly, birds that don't fly, birds that sing, and birds that make other sounds. Let's fly away with Ruby and some bird news.
Hey friends, how are you? My name is Ruby.
Hi Ruby.
Hi Ruby.
Hello.
Welcome to News Time. We are looking back at some of our favourite animal news stories. Are you ready, my marvellous monkeys? I'll take that as a yes. Okay, let's swing ourselves over to...
Story number three.
Ah, spring. It's that beautiful time of year when the flowers come out and the birds start to sing. But there's one type of bird that likes to come out around this time of year that doesn't like to sing as much as it likes to swoop. I'm talking about magpies. Spring is the time when magpies build their nests up in trees. Then they lay their eggs and wait for their baby magpies to hatch. Magpies are very protective of their eggs. So what do?
They sweep people on the head.
Sweeping is when they go down to the ground really fast and then they go back up.
Yep, that's right. And did you know that it's only the male magpies that swoop? And even then, only about one out of every 10 of them does it. If you're a bit scared of magpies, don't worry. There are some things you can do to protect yourself.
Run away.
Get an adult.
Stay calm. Don't go, Well, that might scare them even more trying to swoop you.
Good ideas. But the only way to really avoid being swooped is to give the nests lots of space. And it's important to remember, it's only for a couple of weeks of the year. On that note, let's fly on over to our next story.
Story number two.
Imagine that you're playing at a playground and all of a sudden you spot a polar bear. That would be pretty scary, right? Well, on an island up near the icy Arctic Circle, more than 50 polar bears have taken over a town.
No, not true.
It is true. They've been wandering the streets and going into shops and rummaging through rubbish dumps. They've become a big problem for the 3,000 people who live in this town.
It'll be scary.
Yep, a bit scary. Now everyone's a little bit worried about going outside and getting too close to a bear. What do you think these polar bears are doing in the town?
Because they're really hungry.
They lost their home. They have no food and they want to eat fishes.
Good answers. Some people think it's because the icy places that bears usually like to hang out are melting. That means they have to travel further than usual to find food. Now polar bear experts are on a mission. They want to figure out how to make the polar bears go away and make sure everybody stays safe. How would you get the bears to leave?
Shoo them away with a broom.
Take them to where they go.
We can run.
We'll just have to wait and see. Okay, time to run over to our next story.
Story number one.
Do you know what a dingo is?
It's a wild dog and they have pointy ears.
Well, a dingo is an Australian native animal.
Yes, dingoes are Australia's native dogs. They've been here for thousands of years. But what if I told you that one day, about 6 months ago, a little dingo fell from the sky?
That's pretty surprising.
I don't think that's true.
It might sound like a fib, but I promise this actually happened. The family that found this little dingo pup in their yard, they reckon it might have been dropped there by an eagle. They took him to the vet to make sure he was okay and to do some tests, just to make sure he definitely wasn't an alien dog. And they found out that, no, not an alien, he was a true blue alpine dingo. That's an endangered species.
Endangered means that there's not many of them left in the wild. I would put it at a sanctuary so it would be safe.
That's exactly what they did. This dingo was given the name Wundi, and now he's living with other dingoes at a sanctuary where he'll be protected. Dingoes are pretty important, you know. We'd be in a bit of trouble without them. Know why?
The food chain can't go on.
Yes, good remembering. It all comes back to what we've just been learning about the food chain. Dingoes are one of those very important links. And that's it, my newsy narwhals. We have reached the end of our World Animal Day countdown. Thank you so much for all your wonderful listening. I'll be back next week with more stories from right around the world. I'll catch you then.
Bye, Ruby.
Hi, Ruby.
Catch you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile.
Thanks, Ruby. Look up into the sky. See those colourful birds flying past? Riding on the wind? And look, more birds in the trees, singing away. But have you ever wondered why birds sing? Our friend Bree knows, and here she is now.
Hello, my name's Bree. Today on the show, we're going to use our ears to listen to something. Did you know that every morning, just before the sun comes up, and it's still a little bit dark, and the air is thin, you can hear the birds start to sing? We call this the dawn chorus because it sounds like a chorus of birds. But have you ever wondered why birds sing? Our question today comes from 4-year-old Hannah.
Why do birds sing? Chick-a-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Chick-a-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
Good question, Hannah. Today on Imagine This, we're listening to the birds in the park. I wonder what they're saying.
Kookaburra, he's angry.
What does a kookaburra have to be angry about?
I think because the other bird is not letting him do what he wants to do.
That would be frustrating. What about this bird call?
Cockatoos.
Cockatoos. They were definitely my white cockatoo, my favourite.
What do you think the cockatoo might be saying?
Maybe they're saying I'm hungry, or maybe they're saying this is fun.
Saying wee!
It looks like it would be fun to be a bird, but how do we really know?
I don't know, but I got an idea. Maybe we could look it up from a scientist on your phone.
Oh yeah, good idea. I'm pretty sure I've got a bird scientist in my phone somewhere. Ah, Simon Griffith. Let's give him a call.
Hello.
Hey, Simon. Is that you?
Yeah.
We're outside listening to the birds. Do you want to come meet us?
Yeah, sure.
Hang on. You're not at the park right now, are you?
Yep.
Oh, hey, I think I can see you. Hey, Simon, it's me waving. Can you see me?
Yes.
Come on over.
For sure.
Hey, Simon.
Hi.
You know, these birds sure do make a lot of noise.
Yeah, each bird has kind of a different language.
A different language?
Yeah,
All birds have calls, but some birds have songs.
So what's the difference between a call and a song?
That's a call. That's a song. That's a call. Now that's a song.
Magpie. Magpie.
Wow, those songs sound really complicated. So why do they call?
Some birds call to warn other birds of danger. Look out! Some birds call to say, where are you? And other birds call back to say, I'm over here. Some birds call to say, this is my place. I live here. And baby birds can call out for food because they're hungry.
So if birds are calling out to each other all the time, then why do they need to sing?
They try and sing the most beautiful song in the world to stand out from the rest. If you go out in the bush, you can often hear birds having a singing competition.
How does that work? And now, coming to you live from the Australian bush, it's the Bird Song Competition. Our first contestant is the Golden Whistler. Simon, do you think they're ready?
Absolutely.
Tell us how this one works, Simon.
You'll hear one bird sing, and then somewhere else you'll hear another bird singing back.
I can hear it. So why are they having a singing competition?
To show how healthy they are and how good they're feeling.
Why does that matter?
Birds will often sing to find a mate so that they can build a nest and start a family.
They can use their songs to start a family?
Yeah, some birds sing to impress other birds. Listen to this bird.
A lyrebird.
Yep, lyrebirds make the sounds of other things.
They can do any noises.
Like what?
Like a chainsaw. Like a telephone.
They can do a motorbike noise.
A motorbike? That's clever. How do you think the birds learn how to sing?
Maybe with their little bird brain?
Or a bird teacher?
The mother one.
They might be a bit smart. They might have learned how to sing on their own.
That's right. Each type of bird is born being able to make a particular sound. But it's the parents that really teach them how to get good at the calls and the songs.
They must listen with their ears.
But they don't have any ears.
Do birds have ears?
No, they don't.
I can't see any.
Maybe their ears are camouflage.
Oh, do you think their ears are hiding under their feathers?
Yeah.
Simon, do birds have ears?
Absolutely.
So they can listen?
Yes. Baby birds start learning their songs and calls even while they're still in the egg. They can hear what's going on through the shells. And when they're babies in the nest, they start to practice.
By singing as well.
Yep. They listen. And they try. And they listen. And they try. Until they get really good at it. We call that vocal learning because it's all with the voice and nothing's written down, just what they can hear, the songs.
So, Hannah, birds call and sing for lots of different reasons. It's how they communicate, and in Australia, there are around 700 different types of birds, and they all have their very own language, just like us. In this country, there are hundreds of different Indigenous languages and hundreds of languages that we speak from all over the world. so we all sound a little bit different. And if you're anything like the lyrebird, you might be able to speak more than one language.
Thanks, Bree. Those birds sound so beautiful talking to each other. Not all birds sing, though. Some birds make other, different noises from their throat. Anne from Noisy by Nature is going to teach us all about the sound of the tallest bird in Australia.
G'day. Welcome to Noisy by Nature. My name's Anne. My favourite thing to do is use my ears to listen to all the different sounds that nature makes. I love the sound of thunderstorms rolling past. And even the sound of cicadas singing. But my favourite sounds are the surprising ones, and I have a very cool one for you today. Right now, I'm driving through the flat outback desert on my way to a nice picnic ground to have my lunch. There are only a few small trees here and there, and lots of small bushes and clumps of dry grass sticking out of that red dirt. The sky is clear, except for a couple of clouds right over there in the distance. Oh, here's the turn-off for the picnic ground. Time to park the car. It's nice to be outside. Now, a lot of people think that deserts don't have many animals, but that's not true. It's just that most of the animals that live in deserts keep well hidden in the daytime to avoid the heat. But sometimes you can hear them. So I'm going to use my ears to find out what's about today. Oh, did you hear that whistling cry? Right above me is a big brown bird with its wings spread out. It's riding on the thermal columns. That's hot air that's rising up from the ground and into the sky. And that bird is a whistling kite. They make such a nice sound, don't they? Ooh, and over there, I can hear chirping. Lots of teeny tiny little birds flying between bushes and shrubs around the car park. Can't really tell what kind they are because they're moving really fast, just like a blur of colour. Oh, okay, I think I can see that one of the birds has a short, bright, red beak and black and white stripes on its tail. I know what it is, it's a zebra finch. I think there must be nearly 50 of them in this patch of bushes. Wow. And there's another one. It's a rainbow bee-eater. They are such beautiful birds with their bright blue, green and orange feathers. I wonder what other birds live out here. But before I go looking for them, I need a snack. Time to go to the picnic ground and eat my sandwich. That's a strange sound. It's getting closer. Oh, the tallest bird in Australia is walking towards me. Do you know what it is? It's got a big grey body and a long neck, like a giraffe. It's an emu, and I'm pretty sure that it's that emu that's making that bumping sound. Can you hear the sound that the emu is making? Bump, bump, thump, thump. It's sort of like a thumping sound, isn't it? That must be a female emu, because only females make that booming noise. And it's not a vocal sound, not like the ones that we make with our mouth and our throat when we talk. That sound is actually coming from a big sack of air
inside the emu. Oh my goodness, its feet look like dinosaur feet. It's got three huge toes with enormous claws, and they're all wrinkly and scaly. With those huge feet and strong legs, the emu can run at a speed of about 50 kilometres an hour. And that's pretty important because emus can't fly. They can just run. Okay, I've finished my sandwich, so time to get back on the road. Bye, Mrs. Emu. Oh my gosh, there's a whole family of emus over there. There's a big adult emu, and behind it are about six tiny little ones. They're small and stripy. Oh, so cute. Can you hear them chirping? Chirp, 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 chirp. The adult emu is actually a male emu because dad emus are the ones that look after all the chicks, even when they're still inside their big green eggs. You can find emus all over Australia, but not in Tasmania. Emus prefer open areas like this desert and plains and woodlands, but not forests with lots of trees and bushes. What a surprising nature sound. And what a cool animal. A bird that doesn't sing. It grunts and it doesn't fly. It runs. Now, who can make the sound of a female emu? We'll have to make the sound with our mouths. You ready? Give it a go with me. Whoop. Whoop. Boom, 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 boom. That is a fun noise to make. And that was some really great bird spotting. A whistling kite. Zebra finches. Rainbow bee eaters. And emus. See, deserts really do have lots of interesting wildlife. Remember, whenever you're outside, you can use your ears to listen to all the amazing sounds that nature makes. I'll bring you some more weird and wonderful sounds of Australian nature very soon. But for now, my name is Anne, and I'm signing off like an emu.
Wow, I hope I get to see an emu soon to hear her call. Let's learn more about emus now on Gamilaroi Country with Rudy on Little Yarns.
Yama. My name is Rudy and I'm a Gamilaroi girl. Yama is how we say hello in my language, Gamilaroi.
Yama.
Yama.
Did you know there are hundreds of different Aboriginal nations inside Australia? You're standing on one right now. How neat is that? Today on Little Yarns, we're going to Gamilaroi Country. That's my country. Can you guess my favourite thing about being on country? It's that I get to see where my mum grew up. Her name is Kerry, and she can teach us more Gamilaroi. Today, we're going to learn the word for a tall bird. Can you guess what it is?
Emu.
That's right, emu. Let's go! Welcome to Gamilaroi Country. Gamilaroi Country is in New South Wales. It's near the border of Queensland and it's inland, which means it's far away from the ocean. Look, there's my mum, Kerry.
Yama, Rudy.
Yama, mum.
Yama, kids.
Hi, Kerry. Hi, Kerry.
Listen, that's a big black crow. You'll hear lots of them around here. What else can you hear?
Cockatoo.
A cockatoo.
That's right. There are so many beautiful animals on Gamilaroi Country. But a lot of the animals you see are very quiet.
What kind of animals?
Kangaroos, goannas, emus. They don't make much noise, but you can follow their tracks. Come, have a look.
I can see goanna tracks. They're easy to spot. You can see the marks that their tails leave.
I can see it.
That's right. And see here? These are emu tracks.
An emu made them of when they step in the piles. They made them because that people can, like, know where the birds are.
That's the word I'm teaching you today. Dinawa. That's emu in Gamilaroi.
Dinawa.
Dinawa.
Well done. I'm an artist and I use a lot of dinawa feathers in my art. But when I was a kid, dinawa was a great food. The boys would go out hunting, and if they caught dinawa, we'd all help out in the kitchen and make dinawa rissoles.
Rissoles? Yum!
I love cooking. It's something all us kids would get involved in. Do you like cooking?
Yeah. Nah.
I have made kangaroo mince by myself and ate it. It's actually really yum.
Oh, that does sound yum. Hey, Mum, not everyone's eaten dinawa before. Can you tell us what it tastes like?
Dinawa is like steak, but it's all the other bits that you add in, the bush spices. Onion's fantastic.
Oh, you're making my mubble grumble, my tummy grumble.
I have 8 brothers and sisters, and when we got dinawa, no one went hungry.
That's so much food.
Absolutely, all of us joining in, making the rissoles together. You could tell which ones were the greedy fellas that made the biggest ones. But there was enough for everybody because the dinawa is so big.
I never went hunting, did I?
Kids, let me tell you a secret. When I would take little Rudy looking for yabbies, she'd have so much fun, but she always had to throw them back.
I don't remember this at all, but they have weird eyes and I don't like them looking at me.
But when I was little, hunting wasn't only about catching animals. It was about spending time together. We used to walk for hours behind the old fellows, following their tracks, listening and learning from them.
Yeah, it's so nice spending all day together. I love going for bushwalks with you, Mum.
I love walking in the bush with you as well.
What do you like to do with your family?
My favourite thing of doing with my family is going to the park.
My favourite thing is about my family when we celebrate my birthday.
Well, with my whole family, we all come together like one.
Listen, there's a dinawa. I can hear it. Can you? Yama dinawa?
Yama dinawa? Great dinawa noises.
It's like a rock throwing it on, like, dirt or grass.
Oh, yeah, it does sound a bit like that.
It's time for you to leave Gamilaroi country now. Thank you for visiting.
Bye, Harry. See ya, Kerry.
Thanks, Mum. Yalu.
Yalu.
Did you enjoy your time on Gamilaroi country with my mum, Kerry?
Yeah.
Me too. Do you remember the Gamilaroi word she taught us today?
Dinawan. Dinawan means emu.
That's right. Dinawan is emu in Gamilaroi. Thanks for joining me on country today. It's really important to me to keep Gamilaroi culture and language strong. So thanks for listening and learning with me. Yalu.
Yalu, Rudy. Thanks for listening to Pacific Playtime, This show is a collaboration between ABC Kids Listen and ABC Radio Australia. I'm your host, Talia. I hope you can join me next week for more listening, learning, and fun. Bye!